New Year's Eve, the play and several scenes by Johnny Culver. The characters are Wendy, an overweight, irritating woman, lacks social skills, early 20s. Jimmy, new to New York City, spindly, frail, very nervous, early 20s. Miss Rivas, tough matron, runs the customer service office with an iron fist, mid-50s. Ma, Wendy's mother, bossy, little blunt, mid-50s, and an offstage receptionist. Scene 1, the customer service office of a small New York publishing company. It is a damp, foggy New Year's Eve in the mid-70s. Jimmy sits at the desk, reading aloud.
And as the clock in the town center struck midnight, Melanie discovered she could see once again. She and her father lived happily ever after, sweeping the cobblestone streets.
He puts down the manuscript.
So what do you think?
You lost me when she lost her glasses. She could have got hit by a car or a bus.
The little girl, Melanie, was poor and blind, living in the streets. It's part of the story. And her father was a street sweeper.
Miss Beavis is trying to work at her desk, sick of the chat.
The girl should have had two pairs of glasses or eyeglasses. Did they have a bookstore in that town that Melanie did the living in?
No bookstore. This was long before bookstores, and towns had a town crier to keep.
Well, to sell the bookstore, not the crying towns. What kind of town does not have the bookstores? A publishing company will not do business with people who cry all the time.
Once I got a new pair of glasses, and I hated wearing them, so I lost them on purpose. I left him in the church bathroom. Boy, was my dad ever sore at me. And I had to move to the front of the room so I could see the chalkboard. It was... oh, humidifying. All the social studies. Can we go now, Miss Phoebus? It's New Year's Eve.
Humiliating, Wendy. But do you like the story? Could it be in a book? Could it be published by our company?
Your book would not sell to me. We would have to have returns and credits to issue. The bookstore would be mad at us.
No. Miss Rivas, look at the time. We should close and go home. No one's going to call us at this hour. I got a party at the VFW to get ready for. They're going to have live disco music. My makeup's going to take at least 10 minutes.
Something in the story is not right. You say the funny things, but then you say the sad things. Miss Rivas does not know whether to laugh out loud or use a tissue to do the part.
Once my dad fell down the basement stairs when the lights went out. That was funny. But then he yelled at me because he found a half-eaten can of chocolate frosting under my bed. That was sad.
No! The chocolate frosting is for the kitchen, not for under the bed. I'll get to work. We are here to do the customer service, not to listen to Jimmy's stories. I have credits to issue for the return book.
She starts to tighten up.
There's no work to do, Miss Rivas. Wendy's right.
I am? It's okay to keep half-eaten cans of chocolate frosting under...
We should close. I have to get home. I have a friend coming over for New Year's Eve.
Friend? Jimmy, you were just complaining to me over Christmas that you don't got no friends. Jeez, I thought I knew everything about you, living downstairs in our basement apartment. I hope you and your friend aren't planning on making too much noise. My dad goes to bed early on New Year's Eve.
He's a new friend. Wendy, I just met him a few days ago. He's... Chet. We're going to maybe go to Times Square, me and... Chet. If Chet shows up.
You having strangers over to our house on New Year's Eve? I'm gonna open the Post tomorrow morning and see your picture on the front page, more than at midnight. See page 3 under the daily number.
Chet is a dancer in a Broadway musical, not a murderer. He lives in Manhattan.
Yeah, whatever play he's in, I'm sure it's a killer. Ah!
The receptionist is heard from off stage. Wendy Garagua, this is the receptionist. I have a visitor out here for you. Excuse me, you can't go back.
Tell him to go away. We're here to do the look, not to do the entertaining.
All I want is to say hello to my little wee wee. Is that such a crime?
Ma, what are you doing here?
My wee wee left her house early this morning without brushing her teeth. She was in such a hurry to get to work. Ms. Rivas, you have one dedicated employee here. I am so proud.
Ma.
That is so unhygienic.
One day she'll be running this department.
No, the bookstore would not like him.
except dictating machine headphones.
You didn't even brush your teeth? That's disgusting.
Jimmy, I did last night. And I don't keep a can of frosting under my bed anymore, see?
Just a bag of candy orange slices next to her bed on the nightstand. Much more healthy for her. All that vitamin C.
And toothbrush to win.
Here you are, Riri. Now go and brush away. I'll be right here and do your work. Oh, Maxwell, as you, of course.
Oh. All right, Ma. But when I get back from the ladies' room, we are leaving. Miss Rebus just said I could, right, Miss Rebus?
No!
She puts on dictating earphones and goes back to typing.
Jimmy, you come along with Riri and me. You can take the bus back to Astoria with us. We have a little shopping to do on Steinway Street on the way, and at the Repco. Oh, now what could I do here? I used to be quite the filing whirlwind back in the day. What's this? Another one of your stories, Jimmy? Oh, such nice typing. I didn't know you had a typewriter down in the basement apartment. I never hear anything.
No, it's nothing. I have a typewriter. I am borrowed someone else's.
My point.
Oh, you must get here early and use that one. Very clever of you, Jimmy. Maybe Miss Rebus will let my little wee wee use a typewriter too. Get a little practice. She's very dedicated to a job now. A real career girl. You must be so proud, Miss Rebus. I knew that correspondence course she took was good money in spite of what her father said. I had never heard a smart word come out of his mouth. Sass talk, but not smart talk. He thought the office assistant in 30 days course was a waste of money, and Riri should have gotten a job at the True Value Hardware Store on Steinway Street, measuring and cutting window shades. A dead-end job, if you ask me. Just because he wasted his life away at the True Value Hardware Store, doesn't mean my wee-wee has to. No, I told her to make sure to serve up for herself, make something of herself, to think on her own, to rise above.
Wendy enters with toothpaste on her mouth.
Wee-wee, can't you wipe your mouth after brushing your teeth?
Takes tissue from her pocket.
Yeah. What kind of career girl walks down Fifth Avenue with toothpaste on her mouth?
Ma, stop it. I can wipe my own mouth.
That's pretty disgusting, too.
Would Ann Landers walk down Fifth Avenue with toothpaste on her mouth? Would Betty Furness walk down?
Go. Leave Mrs. Rebus alone for the rest of the old year. Go, Wendy. Go, Jimmy. Go, the mother of Wendy. Go to the go to the True Value. Just go to the Fifth Avenue. Just go away.
I can stay, Miss Rebus, if you want. I can, really. I don't need to go to the Repco.
No. You go too, Jimmy. Leave Miss Rebus to finish her creditor and invoices.
Goodbye, Miss Rebus. See you next year.
I love saying that.
That was easy, thanks, Ma.
Thank you, Miss Rebus. You are too good to my little wee-wee. Come along, Jimmy. You can use those big strong arms of yours to carry your packages for me. We have to stop at the Repco first. The daughter of a friend of mine works there as a cashier. Maybe you like
those pencil arms? Good thing we're not buying concrete blocks at the Repco. Well, I'm ready for some discoing.
Wendy, they don't sell concrete blocks at Repco, so I'll be just fine. Leave my arms alone.
They all leave. Miss Rebus takes out champagne bottle and glass and pours.
Good. Miss Rebus is finally alone. Alone at last. Happy New Year.
Scene 2. The crowded, stuffy Steinway Street bus at rush hour. Jimmy sits in the middle seat. Wendy and Ma on either side. Jimmy has packages on his lap. Wendy drinks a bottle of Presto to a straw.
I thought that cashier at the Repco was very nice. Don't you, Jimmy? Violet Galati. I know for a fact that she is single. And her mother tells me she plays the flute in her spare time. I've never heard her play the flute, but I could invite Violet and her mother over for coffee and for fluffy cake, and Violet could play the flute for us, and you could come upstairs.
Ma, stop trying to fix up Jimmy. He's a writer. He has no time for girls.
It's Fresca.
I love Fresca. I could drink it warm.
No time for girls. Jimmy, you make time for girls. Get your nose out of your writing. Every young man has time for girls. Except my brother Maurice, but that's another story.
Mrs. Gralnick, I really don't think that...
Fresca. I could drink it warm and flat.
You could be fine if I was allowed to get a flute playing Jimmy, couldn't you? She has a good job too. Repco pays very well. And she gets a good discount.
Well, I don't like that kind of music. Flute music.
I love Fresca so much. I could drink it warm and flat and out of a drainage ditch.
Really? And I'm talking about the Fresca. Jimmy doesn't want to hear about it. He'd
rather hear about Violet Galati. Violet Galati is ugly and she smells like onions. I sat behind her at homeroom for 4 years. It was not fun. I was always tripping over that stupid flute case of hers.
The bus stops abruptly.
We'll never get home.
What's that fog window?
I'll never be ready in time for the party at the VFW. I'm all ready to disco!
We could just get out here and walk. It's not too far.
Walk? With all these packages? We paid for a full bus fare, Jimmy. We should get a full ride all the way home. Maybe you could go to the party at the VFW, Jimmy. A little bird told me that Violet Galati is playing the flute for the entertainment.
Great. I'll trip over that stupid flute case of hers while I'm discoing.
I have a new friend coming over tonight. We're going to maybe go to Times Square at midnight. I've never been there on New Year's Eve before. The lights, the crowds. Or maybe we'll just stay in. Chet and me.
His name's Chet. We know. What kind of friend is named Chet?
The bus jolts again.
We aren't getting far in this traffic.
Wife's window looks out.
Oh my! Who's walking out of the sidewalk? Why are you ready? With her flute case.
I thought I smelled onions. Is she tripping people with her flute case? She's just as ugly as ever.
Jimmy, give those packages to Bendy and get off the bus and walk with Violet. Help her with the flute case.
Can't miss her. She's the one that smells like a hot dog cart.
I really don't think that's a bad idea at all.
Hands packages to Wendy and Stan squeezes through the crowd.
Happy New Year.
It's gone.
Watch out for the flute case, Jimmy.
Oh, what a nice couple they'll make. No, Jimmy, find yourself over there, the other way. You're going the wrong way. Oh, my, that boy can run.
The bus is smooth.
Ah, finally, I need to get home and practice my discoing.
End of scene two. Scene three, Jimmy's basement, apartment. That evening, Jimmy flutters about, arranging what little things he has. A scratchy show tunes record plays quietly in the background. Jimmy to Chet, who is not there yet.
Well, come on in, Chet. I hope you don't mind the long walk from the subway to get here. There's a bus, but I don't take you Manhattanese for the bus type. This is my little apartment. Not bad for just moving here from Ohio last summer. This is my record player. And this is where I sit and write my stories, of which I hope to have published one day. Just like I told you with the Howard Johnsons on 46th and Broadway, I have dreams just like you, Chet. You want to be a big musical star, and I want to be a famous writer.
Points to Chet's pants.
I see you've got those mustard stains out of your pants. Sorry about that. I was just a little nervous and careless. I never met anyone on Broadway before. Chet.
Holds out a bowl of onion dip.
I hope you like...
There's a knock at the door.
Ah!
Jimmy puts down the dip, smooths his hair, and lounges goofily by the table.
Come in.
The door opens and Wendy appears, overly made up and wearing a terrible disco dress, carrying her overcoat.
Wendy, what are you doing here?
I smell onions. Where is she? Okay, Violet, I know you're here.
That's onion dip, Wendy. Why aren't you at the VFW?
Let us spread Jimmy. Onion dip, huh?
Heads to the bowl and stops herself.
No, I will not ruin my good breath with onion dip. It smells like onions and people would think I was Violet Galati.
Violet plays the flute and works at Revco. Wendy, you don't.
Good point.
Goes to the bowl and takes a big fingerful of dip.
I'll just get a pack of certs at the corner. Maybe a Fresca to look slim whilst I disco.
What do you want? I'm waiting for...
Your new friend we know. Well, Ma told me to come down here to tell you that if your friend was coming out to Astoria from the city, if he was on the double R train anywhere between 49th Street and Queensboro Plaza in Astoria, All Double R trains would be redirected to the Queens Boulevard Express line to Jamaica Station due to a signal malfunction in the Steinway tubes and beyond. For local service, return to Manhattan and take the Steinway Street bus or other means of transportation. Please plan your travel accordingly. More news later on WINS.
Turns to leave.
I hope I got that right.
Heads out the door and bangs into Ma.
Ma? Well, don't wait up. I'll be discoing the night away. See you, Jimmy.
Woo! With that onion breath, I hope she won't be doing any slow dances. A good career girl never goes anywhere without her fresh breath.
Looks like spread of snacks on table.
Ooh, well, Jimmy, you went all out for your new friend. Dip, chips, Lance's wine. And I love what you've done with this little basement. You can hardly see the hot water heater behind that polyester blanket.
Thanks.
My brother Maurice is a decorator, you know. I bet he'd be happy to see what you've done down here. Give you a few helpful tips.
Doesn't matter. My friend Chet isn't going to make it out here through all those subway diversions. This New Year's Eve is ruined.
Jimmy, this reminds me of a Christmas night a long time ago. We wanted to go to Rockefeller Center and see the Christmas tree, do a little skating, which surprised me because she'd only skated once before in her life. She was about 6 years old, skated out on the ice broke, and she went right through.
Oh no, did she sink? How did you save her?
Wasn't a big thing, really. She was skating on a little drainage ditch over by the Consolidated Edison plants. But so there we were, all bundled up, ready to go to Rockefeller Center to see the Christmas tree, do a little skating. When we got to the elevated platform, there was no service. Some thoughtless man had chosen that evening to jump in front of a train at our station.
That's terrible.
I thought so, and the wife of the man thought so too. But you know who was the most upset? Wee wee. She cried and cried, even louder than the wife of that man. So I walked home, crying and crying to the streets of Astoria. I felt so bad for my little wee wee.
So what happened?
I took her home, dressed her in a little Sears robe of hooded pajamas, gave her a little cup of my special eggnog, put a shot of brandy in every cup, put her to bed, and she was out cold before Red Skelton, which I thought was a good idea because her father and I always agreed that Red Skelton was a little strange for children to be watching. Especially at night, with that greasy hair and all.
What does this have to do with me?
Goes to sink and loudly turns on water, washing his hands.
Jimmy, things happen for a reason, just like tonight. Things happen to everybody. Well, I was just talking to my brother Maurice on the telephone, and he said he was planning to spend a quiet New Year's Eve at home with a few of his decorator friends. When a few days ago, he was in the Howard Johnson's on 46th Street and Broadway, he noticed a sad-looking young man in the corner with the worst mustard stains on his pants of all things. Well, Maurice got to talking with him, and he felt so badly for the young man that he invited him to join his decorator friends for a quiet New Year's Eve at home.
Jimmy turns off.
I didn't hear a word of what you said. Sorry.
Jimmy, things happen for a reason, just like tonight. Don't stay at home and feel bad. Pack up your onion dip and your chips and get over to the VFW. You're going to be alone. You'll be at least be alone with other people. Even Violet Pilati.
I guess you're right. I'll do it.
Starts to pack up food. Ma grabs a bottle of wine.
But Jimmy, you got Lance's wine here. Me and Wee Wee's father, we may want to do a little celebrating of our own.
End of scene 3. Scene 4, the Digi VFW, about 11 p.m. Land disco music accompanied by flute can be heard in the background. An overhead black and white television is tuned into Times Square. Jimmy enters with shopping bags and makes his way to the food table, putting down the bags.
Wendy was right about these pencil arms. I am a weakling. My New Year's resolution is to start going to the YMCA.
The men look over again, smiling. He turns away in embarrassment and unpacks his bag of food. Wendy gets to the table carrying a Fresca bottle. She's a sweaty mess.
Jimmy, what are you doing?
Points at TV.
There.
There, you're supposed to be...
Points to floor.
Here, I mean.
Holds her head.
Sorry, all that discoing. I'm a little dizzy-headed. Maybe this is all a dream.
Looks around.
Hey, where's your new friend? Ooh, onion dip.
I'll tell you later. They got a nice turnout here for their New Year's Eve party. I'm impressed.
It's not so bad. I'm sorry to say that Violet Galati plays a pretty mean flute version of Love to Love You, Baby. 17 minutes writhing on that wooden floor there, Jimmy. My back is killing me. How did not the Summers do it?
And then look at her.
Who are those men, Wendy? They look as out of place as I feel. And it's summer, so, and it's summer. No, oh, that's okay. They look as out of place as I feel.
Wendy, disinterested, pokes through the food.
Ben, that's just my Uncle Maurice and his decorator friends. He said they were supposed to get together with some guy, but they got stood up. So they hopped on the bus and came out here. They brought André Duck champagne, too.
Because the laughing Fresca wipes her face and bowed to Jimmy.
Well, back to the floor, Jimmy. Violet promised to play for the hustle next. Happy New Year.
She hustles off. After a beat, a tipsy Miss Rivas hustles on from the other direction, carrying a champagne glass.
Jimmy! From the publishing company customer service office.
She hangs on to you.
Miss Rivas, what are you doing here?
Where is the Mrs. Rivas? Oh, Mrs. Rivas was sitting at the apartment of Mrs. Rivas when Mrs. Rivas remembered that song. Oh, what good is doing the sitting all alone? Come hear the music play. Go to the Lucas Boy. Then Mrs. Rivas remembered that all the bookstores are closed on New Year's Eve. So, Mrs. Rivas came all the way to Astoria to the BFW.
You took the bus too? Gee, I thought that all you Manhattanese aren't the bus types.
No, Mrs. Rivas do not take do the taking of the bus. No, Mrs. Rivas do the taxi cabs. Miss Wendy, Miss Rivas will do the hustling with you.
She starts to stagger off, stops, and turns back to Jimmy.
Jimmy, a little piece of advice from Mrs. Rivas, eh? Do not do the writing of the blind melody sweeping the cobbled streets with the father of the crime town. Do the writing of something you know and the people who love you. Right? About new Happy New Year's Eve.
She gives Jimmy a sloppy kiss on the cheek.
Happy New Year's Eve, Jimmy.
She hustles off, singing.
If I were a bookstore, hey.
Jimmy stands with the Fresca bottle in one hand and a champagne glass in the other.
Thanks, Mrs. Rivas. I just think I will.
A mirror ball appears above and the disco flute music swells as the men head over towards Jimmy. Curtain.